Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, May 22nd, 2022, Romans.
I noticed some of you were quite impressed by that last hymn that you heard. That was Sandy Patty singing How Great Thou Art. That's your goal for the... hit those notes. The only one in here that can hit that note is Magnum down here. I did hit that note one time, but I got caught. I got caught on an electrified fence when I was hunting, but... I love that hymn, How Great Thou Art, and very few people can hit those notes. I noticed some of you are going. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word, and therefore... open the Word of God to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way, by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble to fellowship with you in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 13. Romans 4, verse 13. For absolutely not through the works of the law is the promise to Abraham or to his seed, that he was going to be heir of the world, the Abrahamic covenant, but through righteousness, by means of faith, faith in Christ. Verse 14, for if they are heirs by doing the works of the law, first class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, we will assume they are, then faith in Christ for salvation has been voided in the past, with the result that it is permanently invalidated, and the promise of blessing in the Abrahamic covenant has been canceled. For the law, distortion of the law into a system of salvation by works, brings about wrath, divine judgment from the justice of God. But where the Mosaic law does not exist, i.e. the Gentiles, also no distortion of the law exists. And that brought us to the verse 16, which is the beginning of the conclusion of what Paul has been teaching. The conclusion will be completed in verse 22, and in between verse 16 and verse 22, we have the great parenthesis, verses 17 to 21. But I'll take you, let's look at the corrected translation of verse 16. We'll go ahead to verse 22 and see the completion of it. And then this morning we will start the great parenthesis, verses 17 to 21. Verse 16. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace. Grace and faith go together, not works. Not grace and works, grace and faith. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham, not only to the ones who are of the law, that is, Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, but also to the ones, the Gentiles, who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ. He, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, Jews and Gentiles. Now, in verse 16, you had a conjunction of contrast between the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Christ, and then it says, but. And that is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, and it sets up a contrast between Jews who believe in Christ for eternal salvation and Gentiles who believe in Christ. Abraham believed in Christ when he was a Gentile. He believed in Christ sometime before the age of 75. He did not become a Jew until he was 99. So he believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation as a Gentile. And so when it says here, but also to the ones who are of the faith of Abraham, that is, Abraham was a Gentile when he believed in Jesus Christ. And so it sets up, he, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us. So, a couple of things before we get into the parenthesis. One, Abraham is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race. Eternal salvation. Abraham is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race, Jews and Gentiles. Two, Abraham was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, Genesis 15:6. He was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, Genesis 15:6. Three, Jews are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 4:16. Jews are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 4:16. Four, Gentiles are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 4:16. Gentiles are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 4:16. Five, no one is saved by works. No one is saved by his self-righteous human good works. And And this is one of the great verses, Romans 4:16, that teaches this. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham. Not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, but also to the ones, Gentiles, who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentiles who believe in Christ for salvation, who, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, for the whole human race, Jews and Gentiles. There's only one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. There's only one way. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the gift of eternal life. God imputes his righteousness to you. And you now will live with God forever and ever in heaven. Now that brings us to Romans 4:17-21. And this we call the great parenthesis. And in this parenthesis we have Abraham as a spiritually mature believer and Sarah, his wife, as a spiritually mature believer. So now we see in this parenthesis Abraham and Sarah as spiritually mature believers. They have advanced all the way. Now, they had a unique spiritual life. We're living in the church age. And in the church age, we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. That never occurred before in human history. In the Old Testament, there is a few believers that had the endowment of the Spirit. Nobody was indwelt with the Spirit. Nobody was filled with the Spirit. There was the endowment of the Spirit to carry out a specific task. But you can count on your fingers and toes the number of people that had the endowment of the Spirit. There was no universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit until the church age. Pentecost. The church age goes from Pentecost to the rapture. And this is the dispensation for the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. And that is the basis for spirituality in the church age. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit. In our dispensation, spirituality is the filling of the Spirit. Not in the Old Testament. They didn't have the universal indwelling and filling of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, spirituality was the faithless life. And we're going to see Abraham and Sarah with great spirituality that brought them from salvation all the way to spiritual maturity, so that in their old age, they are old. 99, Abraham's 99. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be 99. So right now, I'm not going to tell you how old I'm at. I look like I'm 109. I know nothing I can do about that. But I don't want to be 90. I don't want to be sitting up here and you look up there and say, is he alive? Is he breathing? Abraham was 99. He had been unable to procreate or have children for 13 years. He was dead. He was dead sexually. Sarah had passed the menopause. She was dead sexually. They were two dead. But, you know, when you're 99, most of us will be dead sexually. Probably dead physically before that. And God promised them that they would have a son and that Abraham would be the father of many nations. Well, when God made that promise to Abraham, Sarah heard it and she started laughing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, well, your wife laughed when I said you're going to have a son. So when you have a son, name him Isaac, which means laughing boy. Name him Laughter. So they did. So here we have two people sexually dead, and God gives them a promise. What is this promise? Greater grace blessings to spiritually mature believers. It just so happened their greater grace blessings in spiritual maturity involved the ability to procreate and become, Abraham became the father of many nations. Now that's what we have here. Let's go ahead and read the complete paragraph before we start the exegesis. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, quoting Genesis 17, verse 5, a father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed. Faith rests life. Even God, who gives life to the dead, and that is his reproductive organs, and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed. Abraham believed. Faith rested it. God made the promise. He believed it. In order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, and without becoming weak in faith, he, Abraham, contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. This is the great spirituality of Abraham as a spiritually mature believer. The spirituality was the faith rest life. He faith rested it. God gave him the promise. He said, yes, sir. He believed him totally, even though he was 100 years old and as good as dead. But he grew strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. So here we have Abraham and Sarah as spiritually mature believers, having living the spiritual life in the Old Testament, the faith rest life. They had reached that point of spiritual maturity where they had maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. They knew God, they loved God, and they knew that what God says, He will do. And so here is the winner believer, the believer with occupation with Jesus Christ, that what God promises him, he knows him, he loves him, and he knows he will do it. So the great parenthesis is the great parenthesis of Abraham and Sarah in their spiritual maturity. So now we go back and it starts out in verse 17 in Romans 4. As it is written, this is the adverb kathos plus the present passive indicative of the verb grapho plus hati. Now, kathos gegrapti, that is a formula. It's a formula introducing quotations from the Old Testament. Kathos gegrapti. This formula is correctly translated, as it stands written. And that's how we'll translate, as it stands written. And then we have hati following kathos gegrapti. Hati many times is a causal conjunction. You have heard that many. And sometimes it's a... It follows verbs of decendi, introducing an object clause, and then is translated that. It's not used either one of those ways. When hati follows kathos gegrapti, it is not translatable. It actually serves as quotation marks. So, as it stands written, Then quotation marks. That's the use of hati. Now we have a quotation of the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 5. To see that in its context, turn back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. Verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Well, that is from that passage when Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is the Lord Jesus Christ in Theophany speaking to Abraham. And we now have verse 5 quoted in Romans 4:17. So as it stands written, and now the quotation of the promise in verse 5, Genesis 17:5, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is the perfect active indicative of tithemi plus the accusative singular of the personal pronoun su, plus the accusative singular of pater, and the genitive plural of ethnos, modified by the genitive plural of polus. The verb here is tithemi. Looks like that in the Greek, T-I-T-H, long E-M-I, tithemi. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally it means to put or to place. To put or to place. Point two, with a double accusative, which is what we have, it means to make someone something, to make Abraham a father of many nations. So we have tithemi here, followed up by a double accusative. Three, therefore it means to make, or to establish, or to appoint, or to destine, or to decree. To make, to establish, to appoint, to destine, to decree. It's in the perfect tense. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. The emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The active voice, God the Father, performed the action of the verb, the indicative mood, declarative, absolute certainty of this promise that God the Father decreed to Abraham. The personal pronoun su, you, is Abraham. Pater, literally father, but Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 641, says the one who is called father is the prototype of a group, prototype of a group or the founder of a class of persons. And then we have ethnos, we get the word ethnic from this Greek word, ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, ethnos. Ethnos means nation in the plural. We have the plural nations or people, plural peoples. And then it's modified by the adjective polus. Looks like that in the Greek, P-O-L-U-S, polus. And polus means many, the many nations, many peoples. So the corrected translation, as it stands written, quotation from Genesis 17, verse 5, I have made you a father of many nations. As it stands written, quotation from Genesis 17, 5, I have made you a father of many nations. All right? One. In Genesis 17, verse 5, the Lord declared that you will no longer be called Abram. Up to this time, his name was Abram. Now, Abram actually means father of height or exalted father. That was his name, but not now. Now, your name will be Abraham, not Abram, but Abraham, which means father of a multitude, father of a great number. So God changed his name from Abram, father of height or exalted father, to Abraham, father of a multitude, father of a great number, with this promise in Genesis chapter 17. Two, the promise that Abraham would be a father, the founder of many nations, includes one, Abraham as the founder of the Jewish race. And two, Abraham as the founder of many Arab nations. So the promise that Abraham would be a father, the founder of many nations, includes Abraham as the founder of the Jewish race and Abraham as the founder of many Arab nations. Three, Abraham is also the father or the pattern for salvation for both Jews and Gentiles, for the whole human race. Romans 4:16. Abraham is also the father or the pattern for eternal salvation for the whole human race, Jews or Gentiles. There's only one way. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And the result is eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, and you will live with God forever and ever in heaven. Now, I've heard people say, and the reason when I hear people say, I've heard my father say this. There was one time I walked past my dad's bedroom, and he was sitting on the side of the bed smoking a cigarette, and he was writhing with his hands. And I went in and sat down next to him. I said, "What's the matter, Dad?" He said, I don't know what kind of a world you kids are going to have. Everything is..." This was back a long time ago. If he was alive now, now I know what kind of a world you're going to have. It sucks. And I said, "Well, Dad, you know what?" He says, "I even heard that there's a chance that an asteroid will hit the earth and destroy the earth We'll all be killed. I said, well, you don't have to worry about that. Jesus Christ created the universe and he's holding it together. God has a plan for mankind here. That plan is going to work out. Don't worry about that. And I said, Dad, Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. If you simply believe in Christ, you'll live with him forever and ever and ever. And my dad looked at me, he says, I'm too bad. I know I won't be in heaven. I'm too bad. I know the sins I've committed. I said, do you know that Jesus Christ died for every one of those sins? Everything you think that makes you too bad, Christ paid the penalty for all of them. All of those things that you think are so bad. He thought for sure he was going to be in hell with his friends. Who wants to be in hell with your friends? I don't want to be in hell with anybody. Let alone friends that are in there just as miserable. I said, you got one foot in heaven right now, Dad. Christ paid the penalty for all of your sins. And if you simply believe in him, he gives you the gift of eternal life. And you will live with him forever and ever in heaven. It doesn't depend on your works. It doesn't depend on you at all. It depends on everything Christ did for you. He did all the work. Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross. You simply believe in him. Well, my dad believed in Christ. He was the last one of the Olson household to believe in Christ. My mother was saved. Mom was a believer when she and Dad got married. I was next. I believed in Christ. Gave the gospel to my brother Don. He believed in Christ. Gave the gospel to my brother Mike. He believed in Christ. My brother Dave and sister Judy believed in Christ. And the last of the Mo Olsons, not the Mohicans, but the Mo Olsons, was Dad. And Dad believed in Jesus Christ. And that's what Deb and I were sitting, and we go, you know, here we are. Your mom and dad is in heaven. With Debbie's parents, her dad was kind of a last second faith in Christ salvation, similar to my dad. Your mom and dad are in heaven. My mom and dad are in heaven. I said, yeah, you know, there's a lot of Christians we know, and they know that their parents are not in heaven, and they know that they're going to spend eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. I said, I totally understand. And family members who have not believed in Christ as their Savior. And that's why when you understand God's amazing grace to you, and as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you realize that he's made you a royal ambassador. And you have the privilege of telling others the good news about Jesus Christ. And you will want to do that. You will want to do that because you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for the whole world. And so you don't want to see them. You don't want to see anyone spend eternity in the lake of fire. And so you have the good news of the gospel and you share that good news. God will open the door. There are no accidents in the plan of God. You will get to that point in your spiritual life. There are no accidents in the plan of God. God will bring people into your life and it's no accident. It gives you the opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ and to tell them the good news of the gospel. And not all of them will believe in Christ. Some will. In fact, some of the ones who will believe in Christ, you probably will think they never would. But they will. And some of the ones you think will believe in Christ won't. But you are an ambassador for the living and true God. Represent Him. And you want to. And you want to tell others. I tell you, right now in America, there's nothing more important than, well, what you're doing right now. You assembled to worship the living and true God. There's nothing more important than that. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will also develop virtue love, impersonal love for all, and you'll want to tell others about Christ. And that is right now we have the freedom to do that. Take advantage of it. And wherever you might be, you might be in a grocery store. You might be at the gas station. You might be in a lot of, you might be in school, picking up the kids, whatever, or the grandkids. And God brings someone to you. And I always, whenever that happens, I always goes to my mind, God brought this situation about. This is no accident. I immediately make sure I'm in fellowship and then give the person the gospel. And you might be in an airliner. I was flying to Seattle at that point at University of Washington Huskies, and I hate the Huskies. I want you to understand. I loved Washington State Cougars, but I didn't care too much for that. But they called me up and said, "We want to fly you over and recruit you to play for the Huskies." Well, if they were going to pay to fly me over, okay, well, I'll go. I stayed in Jim Owens' house, swam in his pool, watched some movies, went out to the practice field, and then said, "No, I think I'll be a Cougar, not a Husky." Well, when I got on the plane, a fellow was sitting next to me, and he turned to me and he says, "Are you Dick Olson?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I ran hurdles against you." He says, "I went to, I don't know, West Valley, and I ran hurdles against you." I said, "Gee, I don't remember you. You must have been a long ways back." You know? I didn't really say that. But I knew right then God had placed that individual right there. And so I said, "Do you mind if I talk to you about the most important person in my life?" He said, "No, fine. It's Jesus Christ." And I gave him the gospel. He believed in Christ right there. The plane made a stop. It was one of the flights to Seattle that stopped halfway through the state. He got off. He was only on the plane for about 30 minutes, heard the gospel, believed in Christ. It's the only time I've seen him, but I know he's going to be in heaven forever and ever. No accidents. So you might be on a plane and a person sits next to you. No accident. And always be ready to give the good news of the gospel. Believe me, in America today, our nation needs to hear the good news of the gospel about Jesus Christ. I pray every day that God would open the eyes of the whole world to see Jesus Christ and the grace gospel, and that in these times, many sons might be brought into glory. A lot of times, this is when you'll see lots of people place their faith in Jesus Christ. 4.4. When the Lord gave this promise to Abraham, he was in a totally hopeless situation. It was impossible for him to have children. He was in sexual death. When the Lord gave this promise to Abraham, he was in a totally hopeless situation. It was impossible for him to have children. He was in sexual death. Abraham was sexually dead when he was given the promise. Sarah had passed the menopause. 5. Abraham has been in the status of sexual death for 13 years. He's been in the status of sexual death or impossible to procreate for 13 years. He's almost 100 years old. 6. However, Abraham is a spiritually mature believer. When the Lord spoke to him in Genesis 17, 1 through 8. And the Word of God in Abraham's soul was more real to Abraham than his 13 years of sexual death. Abraham is a spiritually mature believer at the in the passage when the Lord spoke to him in Genesis 17, 1 through 8. And the Word of God in Abraham's soul was more real to Abraham than his 13 years of sexual death. 7. So Abraham faith rested it. He faith rested it. God gave him a promise and he believed it. He believed it. It was a done deal. He knew it was a done deal. The Lord made the promise, it was a done deal. So Abraham faith rested it. No problem. He knew Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus Christ. He was occupied with Jesus Christ. He loved the Word of God. And he had maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God. He had maximum confidence that this promise was a done deal. When God gave him this promise, he said, "Yes, sir." So the corrected translation, as it stands written, quotation from Genesis 17:5, "I have made you a father of many nations." And then we have, "before him whom he believed." This is the adverb catenanti, used as an improper preposition, plus the genitive singular relative pronoun host, plus the aorist active indicative of pistewo. Catenanti looks like this in the Greek. K-A-T-E-N-A-N-T-I. Catenanti. Catenanti, literally, it means opposite. Figuratively, it means in the sight of someone or before someone. The someone is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. Theophany is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. Genesis 17, 1 through 8. The relative pronoun hosts, whom, refers to the Lord. And then we have the verb pistewo. That's P-I-S-T-E-U long O, pistewo. Couple of things. One, pistewo literally means to believe. To believe. The noun pistis is faith. The verb pistis, faith, comes from pistewo, to believe. Two, pistewo is used here for the faith rest life. Abraham is a spiritually mature believer. He's already believed in Christ at least about 25 years or more before. This is his faith rest life. Pistewo is used here for Abraham living the faith rest life. He faith rested God's promise. He believed it. He had absolute confidence. It's a done deal. 3. Faith rest was the Old Testament system of spirituality. The Old Testament system of spirituality. Four, as a spiritually mature believer, Abraham had maximum function of the faith rest life. As a spiritually mature believer, Abraham had maximum function of the faith rest life. 5. The great parenthesis of Romans 4:17-21 emphasizes Abraham's spirituality. It's emphasizing Abraham's spirituality. Maximum faith rest function. So the great parenthesis of Romans 4:17-21 emphasizes Abraham's spirituality. Maximum faith rest life. Now point 6. The link between salvation and spiritual maturity is spirituality. The link between salvation, faith in Christ, plus and spiritual maturity is spirituality. In the Old Testament, the faith rest life. In the church age where we are living, it's the filling of the Spirit, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. But the link between salvation and spiritual maturity is spirituality. 7. The Lord provided for Abraham certain promises and guarantees which became the object of his faith. He believed God's promises. He believed them. He faith rested it. He knew that what God said in his word, he would do. Absolutely convinced that what God promised him, he would do. Even though it seemed hopeless, he believed the Lord. And the Lord fulfilled his promise. This is all greater grace blessing to a spiritually mature believer. And this will be true of all of you when you reach spiritual maturity. When you reach spiritual maturity, you will know Jesus Christ. You will love Jesus Christ. You will know God's promises. And you will know that what God has promised, He will do in your life. And that's fantastic. You live the faith rest life. In these times that we're living in, this is absolutely, this is where you are riding above everything else that's going on. Because you know God, you love God, you know His promises, you believe them, and you rest. You claim them and rest that God will do what He says. And He will. All right, we're going to take a break and give you a few minutes to figure out how you're going to hit those notes that Sandy Patty hit, and then come back for part 2.